God and realize God. And Dhruva was successful. This is a very good example, because although Dhruva was very sincere to find God, but his motive for finding God was not pure in the beginning. In the beginning, he had a material motive that he wanted God to help him get a kingdom. But by the process of devotional service and the mercy of the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master, he became purified of his material desire. And he regretted that he had initially approached the Lord for some material boon. So not all of us are so sincere in the beginning, but by the association of devotees, pure devotees, and the chanting of the holy names, and hearing about Krishna consciousness, one can become purified. And at the stage of initiation, one should, in principle, be ready to engage in pure devotional service, bhakti lata bij. Lord Chaitanya describes further on that other creepers may grow up alongside the bhakti creeper, such as creepers of material desires, and principally bhukti, desires for material enjoyment, and mukti, liberation. But the devotee should be careful to identify these other creepers and keep them away from the bhakti lata. Otherwise, these other creepers, they will drink up the water that's meant to nourish the bhakti creeper. And the bhakti creeper will become weak, and these other creepers will become stronger. And if we're very inattentive or loose or lax, the other creepers can actually become stronger than the bhakti lata. And then these other desires for enjoyment, liberation, they become more prominent. And then you could say the devotee falls down. He falls from the platform of pure devotional service, and we've seen it, unfortunately. But the solution, as mentioned here in the purport, is the disciple should be very faithful to the spiritual master, and he should hear the instructions of the spiritual master very carefully. That is Shravanam. Srila Prabhupada, always our best example in devotional service. He was always eager to hear his spiritual master. Even though his spiritual master spoke on a very elevated platform and in very complicated language, Srila Prabhupada admitted that even he could not understand much of what his spiritual master said in Bengali. And he was Bengali. But still, he would hear. Whenever he had an opportunity, he would hear. And when the other disciples recommended Abhai Charan, that was Srila Prabhupada's name before initiation. When they recommended him for initiation, and they actually recommended that he get first and second initiation at the same time, which was not the common practice, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur agreed, and he said, yes, I will initiate him, because he likes to hear. And later, Srila Prabhupada commented that that was his qualification. In other words, he didn't consider himself by any other standard than what his spiritual master considered to be his qualification. His spiritual master said, yes, he likes to hear, I will initiate him. And Srila Prabhupada took it, that is my qualification, I like to hear. And he further commented that if one hears nicely, one will preach nicely. That because he heard his Guru Maharaj nicely, later he was able to preach nicely. And that is Shravanam Kirtanam. To hear carefully what the spiritual master says, and then to repeat it. And that is preaching. But one must also follow the regulative principles. Then one will have the power to chant or preach. And after describing these unwanted creatures, creepers, Lord Chaitanya mentions six in particular, six kinds of behavior that is considered inappropriate for a Vaishnava. And anyway, one of them is not to follow the regulative principles. So we must follow the regulative principles and hear properly and repeat properly, and that is Shravanam Kirtanam. So in the progress of devotional service, as delineated by Srila Rupa Goswami and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ado Shraddha, first is faith. One must have some preliminary faith and attraction. Like all of you, I would imagine, have some Shraddha, some faith and attraction, and that's why you're here. Then after Shraddha comes Sadhu Sangha. Of course, one develops Shraddha by hearing from devotees. There's some preliminary Sadhu Sangha. But when one begins to develop faith, then one systematically associates with devotees. One will come regularly, every Sunday. Every Sunday and every Saturday. One will systematically associate with devotees. And when one becomes inspired by the instructions of the devotees and the example of the devotees, he will think, I also want to commit myself to the practice of bhakti yoga. I also want to be initiated. And that stage of initiation is identified by Srila Prabhupada with Bhajana Kriya. But in that process of Bhajana Kriya, one has to be attentive. And if one does hear and chant with attention, without offense, the effect will be that will be anartha nivritti, that anarthas, unwanted habits, unwanted desires, unwanted behavior, unwanted thoughts will be eradicated. And that is a bit of a difficult period. I mean, it can be a little difficult confronting these anarthas as they come up. But if we continue the process of watering the plant, chanting and hearing, and are alert to distinguish the wanted creepers from the unwanted ones and uproot the unwanted ones, and also fence in the creeper to protect it from occasional mad elephants that might come in and trample the creeper and destroy everything in the garden, then one will be able to become free from anarthas and pass on to the subsequent stages. Now, the mad elephant that can destroy in no time at all a very nicely cultivated garden is Vaishnava Aparad. There are many manifestations of Vaishnava Aparad, but it basically means becoming hostile to a Vaishnav or Vaishnavas. In the case of the disciple, Srila Prabhupada relates it to disobeying the orders of the spiritual master, knowingly or deliberately, but disobeying the orders of the spiritual master. So what is the fence that protects the devotional creeper from the mad elephant? It is the circle of pure devotees. We have to stay in the circle of pure devotees. And again, this comes up, because if you don't stay in the circle of pure devotees, you'll be subject to offenses, and you'll be subject to cultivating these other creepers, karma, jnana, political, social, philanthropic, all sorts of other bijas. And it happens. We can, by bad association, by the association of people who are either not devotees or at best mixed devotees, we can be influenced by them, and then we start to cultivate these other desires and activities, and then the bhakti creeper becomes weakened, and it can happen that the other ones become stronger, and one gets, you just see less and less of the person. And or you see him, but he's a little different. He's some mischievousness going on. But we are fortunate here. Banu is fortunate. His seed is sprouting in this lovely garden of ISV. And Vaisheshika Prabhu is a very capable master gardener, who is always vigilant to see that no unwanted creepers sprout up in the garden, to see that no mad elephants start peeping in the window or trying to come in the back door. And he has other very capable, other master gardeners who are assisting him. So if we stay close to the type of instructions that we get here, the type of association from Vaisheshika Prabhu, Satyadeva, Kurunath Prabhu, Nirukula Mataji, so many others, and you know, continue to chant and hear and follow the regulative principles, then one will progress, one will be able to chant properly and preach properly. And that is the special mercy of Lord Chaitanya delivered to us by Srila Prabhupada, and that is Sankirtan and the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda by spreading the Sankirtan movement, the holy name, Prasad, and especially Srila Prabhupada's books. One gets special mercy from Gaur Nitai. And even if one isn't all that able to follow all the details because of either our own fallen natures or circumstances, a lot of it is circumstances, just the hard struggle for existence, dog eats dog, the big fish eats the little fish. If we give ourselves to this mission of Srila Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we get special mercy. And that special mercy will help us to progress even in the midst of Kali Yuga. Once His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Swami asked Srila Prabhupada, because, I mean, we talk about not offending devotees. Actually, we should not offend anyone. We should not offend anyone. That is very clear. So Bhakti Chaitanya Swami asked Srila Prabhupada at Bhaktivedanta manner that what if he's preaching and someone takes offense? What kind of reaction does he get? And Srila Prabhupada replied that if you're sincerely trying to present the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with no ulterior motive, and the person happens to take offense, it doesn't count as an offense, and there's no reaction. So that way, if we take up the mercy of the Panchatattva as delivered to us through Srila Prabhupada's instructions and movement, then we can clear all sorts of anarthas very easily and very quickly. Cheto Darpana Marjanam, Sankirtan, cleanses the heart of so many dirty things. That's anartha nivritti. So, yes, we chant and hear, and we worship the deity. That's another point, that although Lord Chaitanya says to water it with chanting and hearing, but we're not at that stage where we can just chant and hear 24 hours a day chant 3 lakhs names, which is 64 rounds times 3. We can't, very few of us can chant 64 rounds. And so we have other activities to engage us. Deity worship is important. And deity worship doesn't mean just worshiping the deity personally, but seeing someone else worship the deity counts. So one person might be offering Mangal Aarti, but everyone who participates in Mangal Aarti is engaging in deity worship. This is how it works. The congregation in the worship gets the credit for participating in the worship. So there are many intricacies that many of you have been learning, and you know, Vaisheshika Prabhu and others have been teaching you, and you will continue to learn. So that will go on. But this thrust to go out and deliver Lord Chaitanya's mercy to others, that will prevail over everything. But to do that, you have to hear properly and follow the regulated principles. If you do that and you really extend yourself to others in that mood of Odarya, like Lord Chaitanya, like all of our acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada, then you'll get special mercy from the Panchatattva, from Srila Prabhupada, from the whole parampara, and lead a very happy life in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So now I will request His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu to
Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Madhatandina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kata Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamani Hari Priye Vanshakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Go Premanande, Hare Bo.
You better adjust the camera, maybe. Yeah, thanks.
Do you want to move the microphone?
I offer my respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And I offer my obeisances to His Holiness, Giriraj Swami, and to all my esteemed God brothers and God sisters who are here today. Thank you for your association. And to all the devotees who are my life and soul, who are all present here today. Hare Krishna. My obeisances to you. This is, I'm sitting here in this corner with the, I feel like I'm in the perfect place of the universe because I'm perfectly lined up. I see Srila Prabhupada sitting on his Vyasasan. And then I see my most revered godbrother, Giriraj Swami, sitting at his lotus feet, where he's always been sitting. And then I see the fire pit ready, and I see our own pandit, Srivas Pandit G, ready for the fire yajna. And coming through this line, which is like a line of spiritual electricity, we have our very own Banu, who is sitting here ready to absorb this mercy coming down from the spiritual world through this pipeline, this perfect pipeline, which is orchestrated by Krishna and carried out through the desires, the sincere desires of his dedicated devotees. Nayamatma pravachanena labhyo na medayana bahuna shutena yame vaisha rinute tena labhyas chashyaisha eva asha rivrinute tanum swam. Krishna reveals himself only to those people he himself chooses. He is the supreme and he is beyond the inspection of any person who is insincere, and therefore only those who are qualified through sincerity and surrender and dedication can sit for an initiation and actually successfully accept it. And only those who are qualified in the same way can pass down that mercy to those people. So here I'm getting the overflow of that mercy, which is coming down in this line. And I feel very fortunate to be here. And, of course, Shishi Radha Madan Mohan are presiding over the whole affair. By their mercy, they've appeared here and are blessing all of us with their divine association. So it's a miracle. And the holy name of Krishna is non-different from Krishna. Namachintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purnashudho Nityamukto Binatdvam Nama Namino. Krishna and his name are the same. There's no separation. And just as Krishna is all perfect, his name is all perfect. Krishna is just as Krishna is a the fulfiller of everyone's desires, so is the name. It's full of consciousness. It's none different from Krishna. And so today, Banu Prabhu is taking this Harinam initiation. And it's significant because it's a sign of great sincerity and seriousness to come to a spiritual master, to ask for shelter. This is the prescription of Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Adau Guru Vashrayam. First is that you must take shelter of a guru. This is the injunction of all shastra. Tad vignanartam sa gurum eva bhigachchet. You must do it, or at least you must have that feeling that I must do it. and come forward for that. And in taking the holy name from a Vaishnava, one gets a special protection of Krishna. Because Krishna is biased. Although he says in the Bhagavad Gita, Samaham sarvabhuteshu nami tveshastina priya, he then says that if someone is engaged in worshiping me, if someone's my devotee, then I am biased towards him. And actually, according to the Acharyas and all Shastra, this is the greatest ornament of the Lord, is his bias. Bhakti is a kind of bias. And so the first offense against the holy name is to blaspheme devotees, to criticize devotees. There's no reason for it. There's no reason to criticize devotees. In fact, in a pernicious way, there's no reason to criticize anyone. And one of the austerities of the tongue that Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita as an austerity in the mode of goodness is to control the tongue in such a way to speak things that are pleasing and beneficial to others, avoiding speech that agitates the mind of others, and to regularly recite the Shastra. So a criticism of anyone is actually from the lower modes, rising from the lower modes of material nature. And criticizing a Vaishnav, who is carrying the delegation of Krishna from the spiritual world, is the most dangerous thing one can do, and it's absolutely unnecessary. And therefore, one should guard against it very carefully. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that Gunaraj Khan from the village of Kulia had uttered one verse, had written a verse in glorification of Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated it so much that from that day forward, he said that everyone within that village was blessed and was considered by him to be his beloved. Even a dog in the village then, because of the utterance of Gunaraj Khan. And this is the importance of our alliance with Krishna. We are lost in a jungle of confusion in this material world, and we need an alliance in any way that we can find it. If we can find that alliance, we must take it. And when Krishna sends that alliance through the devotees to us in this material world to speak against it, to speak against those persons who are involved in that alliance, is the greatest travesty. It's the greatest kind of violence possible, because it offends Krishna. It offends Krishna's delegates. And so, what is a devotee? Haridas Thakur said there are many qualities of a devotee. Shastra lists them: Tichikshava Kurunika, Surida Sarvadehinam, Ajatra Shatrava Shanta, Surida Sarvadehinam. He's a friend to everybody, he's tolerant, he's nonviolent, he's peaceful. The Shastra talks about all these. But one doesn't have to have all those qualities to be considered a devotee. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Api chet sudaracharo bhajate mama nanyabhak sadureva samantavya samyag vyavasito hisa, that if someone's inclined to me in their heart, if they're sincere about devotional service, then that person is my devotee and he should be respected, even if he looks like he has some loose character at some time. And therefore, all the other qualities are not necessary, but one quality is necessary, and that is the person has faith in Krishna and is surrendered to the process of going back to him. And such a person is also considered a devotee, and therefore to criticize such a person is an offense to Krishna. Controlling the tongue by not criticizing devotees, and also instrumental in that, not hearing the criticism of devotees, is one of the primary processes for enhancing our and accelerating our journey back home, back to Godhead. So this one aspect, if we control the tongue, the envy is all-pervading in the material world. It resides within the heart. And when it comes out through the tongue, it can pierce the bodies of others. Lord Krishna told this to Uddhava in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It can pierce the heart. And those who throw that spear become destroyed themselves. So never criticize devotees. There's no reason for it. And control the tongue through the austerities mentioned by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. The second offense is to consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the names of Lord Vishnu. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all others are his servants. And if we keep that in mind, and we approach anyone, however powerful they are in this world, only with regard for them, for their relationship with Krishna. And if we're seeking favors, then those favors must be in relationship with helping us to become servants of the servants of the servants of the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled throughout South India and he visited temples of demigods. He went and offered obeisances to the temples of Lord Shiva and Kartikeya and others. But he saw them all in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also traveled in South India, he visited, as a Vaishnava sannyasi, these other temples of demigods, and some questioned your predecessors. Often other Vaishnavas never came to these. They avoided these demigod temples. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here. He offered obeisances at these temples and in the mood of serving Krishna and begging for their mercy to serve Krishna. And therefore, we also follow in that. So we should see in a balanced way how these demigods or anyone else is a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and give them due deference in relationship to Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. With that vision, we can move in this world in a perfectly adjusted way. The third offense is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master or to consider the spiritual master to be an ordinary person. Rupa Goswami has said in the Upadeshamrita, Drishtvai Subhava Janitarva Pushashta Doshar Na Prakrita Famiya Bhakti Dhanasya Pashet Gangam Nasan Na Kalabud Buddha Pena Pankar Brahma Dravap from Apagachiti Nira Dharmai. That the external appearance of a pure devotee may look material, may seem material. There may be even a disease or some infirmity. He said, but these are like the Ganga that has bubbles, foam, and mud. The Ganga is always pure. And any gentleman will go to the Ganga, push the bubbles, foam, and mud out of the way, and take a shnan and feel purified and refreshed. So we have to see within our Gurudev the presence, the delegation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that and his representation there, and show all respect at all times within our heart and through our external etiquette, because this is how Krishna's mercy comes down to us. And we should revere the instructions that we get. One instruction from the spiritual master can become our foundation in life. As Srila Prabhupada got some straightforward but very simple instructions from his spiritual master, and he took those and spread Krishna. With those instructions, he laid the foundation for the entire Krishna consciousness movement. One instruction. So we should never disregard them or think that they're insignificant or one's important and another's not important. We should take them as our life and soul, and that is the very essence of our service to the holy name, to Krishna, because we are servants of the servant of the servant of the servant. And when Krishna sends his delegate here to come and bring us back to Godhead, we should take those instructions as our life and soul. The fourth offense is to blaspheme Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. The Vedas are a grand scheme for bringing everyone back home, back to Godhead. And there may be parts of the Vedas that seem irrelevant to us at a particular time in our development, like it's okay to kill a goat, but just on a dark moon night. And we shouldn't criticize even those aspects of the Vedas, knowing that they are part of Krishna's plan to bring the living entity to a higher position and bring him or her back home, back to Godhead. Again, we should not bite the hand that feeds us, and Krishna extends himself to us through the Shastra. And therefore, we should have all reverence for his representation and his instruction through the scripture. Never show disrespect there. Otherwise, it offends the holy name, who is Krishna. The fifth offense is to think that the glories of chanting Hare Krishna are imaginary. And this offense can come because of Maya's influence, thinking that actually how great could the spiritual world really be. Dr. Frog's calculation about is it bigger than my well? But we should open our mind and heart to the unlimited mercy of Krishna, as Lord Brahma did, who is the most intelligent being in the universe, when he surrendered to Krishna and said, Jnane prayasa muda pasyana manta eva jivanti sanmukaritam bhavadhyavartam vartam stanestita shudigatam tanuvan manobir ye prayaso jita jito pyasi taistrilokyam. That don't try to figure out the holy name with your tiny intellect. As Prabhupada used to say, and I heard Giriraj Maharaj say yesterday, you know, with your teeny brain. If Brahma can't do it, we can't do it. And we can follow in his footsteps. We're in his line. He said, don't try that way. Just surrender yourself to the power of Krishna and his holy name and be a servant. Bhakti's so easy. Just be a servant. Do what you're told. That's so nice. And don't try to make up anything. Don't take it as imaginary. Just relish how wonderful Krishna is. Wonderful Krishna. So wonderful. And allow him to be unlimited. And then the holy name will blossom in our hearts. No need to calculate and measure. Sixth offense is give some mundane interpretation on the holy name of the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't like it. That was not his mood. When someone came and tried to give an interpretation to the holy name of the Lord, he blocked his ears. He replied very tersely that I only know two meanings for the holy name. That is Yashoda Nandan and Shamasundar. Okay, that's it. Leave it at that. Great scholarship, collecting commentaries, trying to figure out this and that. If we simply surrender to Krishna, don't try to interpret, simply open our heart and let him be our master, then he will reveal himself to us. The seventh offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy name of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada said in various places at various times, but I'll consolidate them into one phrase. He said, our sadhana should be strict, serious, and sincere. And that includes our internal cultivation of devotional service, that behind closed doors, we are vigilant, that we don't take advantage of our position, being initiated, being in an institution that is powerful, spiritually powerful, that we have this touchstone of the holy name. We don't take advantage at any time. We don't even let our mind peek around that corner. That is strict, serious, and sincere. that possibility that it's okay, I can let down because I'm blessed in some way by the holy name, and therefore I can wash away my sins if I commit a sin on the basis of chanting the holy name of the Lord. What to speak of actually doing something that gross and then thinking that I'm covered. It's an offense to the holy name, and he will retract his mercy if someone tries to do business in that way. It's not a business deal. It's bhakti. The eighth offense is to consider the chanting Hare Krishna being one of the auspicious ritualistic activities mentioned in the Vedas as karmakanda. And that is business. That's business. That means I've figured out how the universe works. And I've got the codes how to move around here. This is called what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta calls elevationism. Elevationism. It's how I can move up. And I know how to move. I know how to negotiate in the modes of nature. There are mantras. There are sacrifices. There are things that I can do to position myself here in this material world. And I can move in that way to get some kind of better position materially. But the holy name is beyond the touch of the material world, and the heart of the devotee should not be tinged with that feeling that I'm going to get something in return, or that this is on the level of this kind of a ritual, which is found sometimes in the Vedic literatures. Srila Kaviraj Goswami says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that if you perform 1 billion Ashvamedha horse yagyas, which are not easy. Even the great kings, you can see in the Ramayana, when the great kings thought about performing a horse sacrifice, they thought about it long and hard, and that was, it's difficult. Now, if you perform 1 billion of those, and you do it at the confluence of the Ganges and Jamuna, and you do it during the eclipse of the sun, which is a rare time, and you put all those things together, and you think that doing that is equal to chanting Hare Krishna one time, you're an atheist doomed to go to hell. That's the mood of the devotees, that we hold. Everyone, please move forward by 5.4 inches in a diagonal direction. So we must hold the holy name above any idea of for material gain or karmakanda. It's not related to that. It's a transcendental activity. Ninth offense is to preach the holy names of the Lord to the faithless. And example is given in the Bible, don't cast your pearls before a swine. Now, we say that so much, of course, it's cliche. That phrase is beaten to death. That's what cliche means. But think about it for a second. I've been to a hog farm before in Kansas. We camped there once when we were doing Sankirtan at the Kansas State Fair, and we stayed at a hog farm. And just the image of the hogs, who are fairly indiscriminate, well, they are discriminate, but they wallow in the mud and other kinds of things, and to take valuable things like pearls and then throw them in the pen is to profane the item itself. Or if you were to give some valuable clothing like a nice silk vest to one of the monkeys in Vrindavan, you will come back a half an hour later and it will be hanging from the electrical wire torn to shreds. So in a similar way, those who are not open or qualified to accept the holy name, we should be hesitant to force them to take it or to try to present the holy name before them, because it's based on their ability to take it is based on their shraddha, their faith. Of course, we're going here, there, and everywhere distributing the holy name door to door, and we are asking people to take it. And so it's a great science how to leave each person, as we say, with a good impression and to plant the seed of bhakti. Prabhupada said, an expert businessman can make a profit whether the market's going up or down. and also can create a market where there is no market. So this takes consideration and finesse, but we should be aware that it is a matter of finesse. As we're presenting the Holy Name, we should protect it when we're presenting to others. The tenth offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names and to maintain some material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on the matter. And this is really an interesting offense, one that we can consider deeply because, of course, as Maharaj pointed out, Adau shara tata sadasanga ta bhajana kriya tato narta nivritti. After we take bhajana kriya, then comes the anarta nivritti. So in the beginning, we're taking the process, and now we're going to run right into the anarta nivritti, which means there are all kinds of material attachments there. And what should we do about that? Well, Krishna says what to do about it in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says that, that's okay. He said that we should, even if when we take to the process of devotional service there are lingering material desires, we should be patient and we should be sincere and continue with the process because in the beginning there may be some material desires that linger, some anartas, and they may even pop up out of nowhere, and in the process of purification, even when the grosser anartas dissipate, the subtle ones come in to take their place. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed the process of anarta nivritti through his cleansing of the Gudicha temple with his associates when they brought more and more water, and he cleansed it again and again and again, over and over again, showing his sincerity in cleaning these anartas from the heart. And the word maintain means that there is some intent to keep something. If I maintain a garden, I have to water it. I have to, you know, I go and check and make sure it's there. So we shouldn't maintain those whatever remnants of desires are there within the heart. We should give full permission to Krishna to sweep them away, take them away. If we can't do it ourselves, which is usually the case, we should, when we chant, we should pray to Krishna, please, I'm going to leave the door open. Please come in and feel free to take everything away, all the material desires. And if I try to keep the door locked, or I don't expose them to Krishna and I hide them and I say, I won't bring that one out because I may need it later. That's maintaining a material desire. So we should be vigilant with that, find out where those little boxes are and at least pull them out a little bit and say, it's over here. I don't have the strength myself, but please, you know, break the lock if you have to.